Do you want to be able to walk upstairs when you are 75 years old? Do you want to be able to not slip in the shower and have the balance that you need so that you don't hit your head and knock yourself out? Do you want to be able to go on that dream vacation to Europe when you're 55 without having to stop and brake all the time?
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. One part of the Lisa Show podcast that I really enjoy is getting to answer the questions that I feel like all my friends and I are having as we all fumble through life trying to live a good one. A topic that comes up a lot is the idea of health and how being healthy changes, particularly in midlife. You hear all the chatter and conflicting advice. So which new study, supplement, diet, technique, or a million other things I see on social media will help this woman of a certain age feel good for as long as possible? Well, guys, I found a new friend to answer all of our questions about midlife health. And let's be honest, I didn't expect to learn much. Eat right, exercise, yeah. But Dr. Bergston surprised me. Not only did he put a new angle on the basics, but he shocked me with some new things I hadn't heard before. And if there's a better way to do health, especially as we get older, then I'm here for it. He'll cover six things we should all be doing for a longer, happier life. But first, let me introduce you to him. His name is Dr. Joseph Bergston.
I'm Dr. Joseph Bergston. I'm a family medicine doctor in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In the past, I've done emergency medicine, hospitalist work. I delivered babies for a while.
Wow, that's a lot.
I have done a lot of different things in medicine, but actually my passion, I found out, is really outpatient family medicine, working with people longitudinally over years and years and years of their life and trying to connect with what makes them happy and what makes them healthy. And I love it. It's actually a great career because it always gives back to me. I see inspiring things every day.
I love a good doctor that loves their job because it's no cakewalk. I have to imagine that seeing patients of a certain mature age might feel a lot like staffing the return desk at Target. I'm sure they hear, "I'm not satisfied," or "This isn't working," or "I don't like this model," all the time. Not that I speak from experience, but let's just say that every time I meet with my physician and they ask how I'm doing, I tell them to hunker down because, well, I've got a long list of things to talk about. Are you there too? Well, apparently we aren't alone. Dr. Bergston says that he gets a lot of common complaints for people over 30.
My number one complaints are anxiety, depression, weight loss, obviously is a huge one, supplements, hormones. The big one also I get is fatigue. People tell me they are tired all the time. And I think that's probably more of a reflection of where we're at as a society and the types of lives that we live. But yeah, fatigue is the other really big one. If I have a male patient between the age of 30 and 45, there is at least a 50% chance they're going to ask me about testosterone and testosterone supplements. And I think we can credit that to the online world is full of information. Yeah. People are getting a ton of information from influencers and people who, you know, probably have some, I don't know, vested interest in their health. But the information they're getting is not always the best thing for them.
It's nice to know I'm normal for struggling with the things I do, but I also realize that social media may not be helping my cause. Did I recently go down a 15-minute Instagram rabbit hole all for a sketchy parasite cleanse? Maybe. And this isn't to say that parasite cleanses are bad or that we shouldn't consider the latest ideas for our health, but it does mean that we need to be careful, especially when monetized likes are driving the information. Another problem that Dr. Bergston runs into is that health means different things to different people.
One of the things I always ask is, like, what is good health for you? When I think of good health, I think of somebody who is able to make it into their 60s and 70s without cardiovascular disease, diabetes, high blood pressure. They're able to function and do the things in life that they want to do. If I'm successful, you're going to be 85, living at home independently, enjoying life with your family and grandkids, and still finding joy in life. For many of my patients, health is, I need to lose 30 pounds and fit into this swimsuit by this date. Oh, or wow. I need to look a certain way. You really have to realize that health actually has a broader, more long-term definition than maybe what they're thinking about in the short term. And don't get stuck on what we would call surrogate outcomes, which are outcomes that actually don't represent your health as much as you think, right? If your outcome is to be able to fit into a specific dress, I know that makes you feel better, but it may not actually make your health in the long run better. So when you make these lifestyle changes, you'll see benefits in ways that may not be the traditional way we think about health, right? You may be able to do more exercise and have more energy. You may be able to engage in things in your life that you weren't able to engage in before. Those are huge successes that you should celebrate. That should be part of how you look at your health.
Health is more than a dress size or a number on a scale. Health is a long-term investment. And when your body has aged several decades, it's even more imperative to take our health seriously. That's why Dr. Bergsten is here to give us a quick six-item checkup. And the first item on that list is definitely not what I expected. I was really struck by how you introduced yourself of like, I am interested in helping people live happy, healthy lives. Are there certain characteristics of people that you have seen over the years that you're like, ooh, that's it. That's the trick to living a healthy, happy life.
One of the biggest things is connection with people, right? My patients, who I think have had beautiful, happy, long lives. They always connect with other people. They have a community around them. It's not like they do any one secret thing. It's not like they do 20 push-ups a day or they eat a vegan diet. It is that they stay mentally engaged and they are constantly pushing themselves to do new things. And when they can't do things anymore, they find new ways to do other things that keep them mentally engaged and doing new and adventurous things in their lives. They don't sit and watch TV all day long. They are always pursuing new goals and new interests. So I think that's a key component of it.
Checkup item number one, create a community and try new things. When I asked Dr. Bergsten for advice on how to stay healthy for my next phase of life, I was expecting for him to say yoga or cod liver oil. I did not expect the first thing out of his mouth to be stay engaged with people and challenge my abilities. But then I remembered Shauna Valentine, my dear mother. She's many decades older. She doesn't want me to tell you because she says that age is a state of mind, not an actual number. And she has absolutely lived this principle. She tries new things. She never stops. She put off retirement forever because she was just having too much fun and created a community that she didn't want to leave. She's learned things. She's picking up things all of the time. And whenever I call her and ask her what she's doing, she says, oh, I'm so busy. I'm doing so many things. And it's true. I did not see choir director in her future. And yet here we are. She also still regularly goes to rock concerts like Maroon 5, where the average age is half her age and she doesn't care. She is right there singing and dancing along. So if you thought retirement and beyond was the chance for you to catch up on your sleep and episodes of The Golden Bachelor, think again. The healthiest and happiest people fill their days with mental and social stimulation. And those habits start right now, regardless of your age. Sorry, Netflix, looks like you and I will need to postpone tonight's engagement so that I can learn to play the harp. I've always wanted to learn to play the harp. Seems pretty cool. The second checkup item Dr. Bergsten suggests involves a test and an app.
Get your blood pressure checked regularly. You need to make sure that if your blood pressure is high, that you're getting your blood pressure under control. Meet with your doctor regularly and have them go through the preventive care measures for your age group. So one of the things most people don't realize, there's this really cool app. It's called the USPTF app. It's the United States Preventative Task Force app.
Oh.
You can download it onto your phone. You just put your age, your sex, you enter a little bit of information about yourself, and then it will pop up all of the recommendations for your health, A, B, C, and D recommendations.
Oh, that's exciting.
And these are all evidence-based recommendations. You can actually look up why they're recommending it and for whom they're recommending it. And then you can have that conversation with your doctor so that you're staying up to date on all of your preventive care recommendations. And if you're looking at longevity, these things actually really make a difference, right?
Checkup item number two, get your blood pressure checked regularly and make sure you're using the free USPTF app. Don't worry if you can't write that down. We'll put a link to it in our show notes. This is now the second time this season that we've heard about the importance of getting your blood pressure checked. A few episodes ago, Alan Ormsby, who's the state director of the AARP, said that studies show high blood pressure is a bullet train to dementia. Maybe not in those exact words, but you get the idea. So the next time you're in a grocery store, take a turn with the rest of the toddlers at the blood pressure machine by the pharmacy. Seriously, though, why do those kids love that machine so much? They just want to climb on it and play on it. Anyway, it's such a simple thing that may end up paying huge dividends later in your life. Dr. Bergstein's third checkup item is about your diet, but not which diet is better, but how you think about diets.
Diet does matter, but it's not all about weight loss. People love to talk about diets, but I would tell people, avoid fad diets, right? Don't think about diets as like a 3 to 6 month thing. Think about diets as a 10 to 50 year thing. So wow. Anytime you're endeavoring in a new diet, first off, check with your doctor. But second, you got to think about this as a long-term commitment. So if you don't see yourself eating the same diet 10 years from now that you're eating now, your chances of being successful are a lot lower. One of the things when we look at the data on diet, there's common themes, whether it's the Mediterranean diet, the DASH diet, the Mayo Clinic diet. All of these diets seem to have some very common components. The first of those is they're almost always very plant-based heavy, and they include lots of fiber. The second is they're very high in whole grains. So making sure that you're getting whole grains, not refined processed foods like white rice, white sugar, white flour, but trying to get things like brown rice, quinoa, nuts, berries, all sorts of things that are very high in fiber. And then the last component of that is don't be afraid of fat. Fat's usually good in all of these diets, but you want to be getting healthy fats. So monounsaturated fats, things like olive oils, fats from fish, fats from nuts, and then lean proteins in your diet. And the crazy thing is we often think about diet as an ends to losing weight. But when you look at the long-term studies, people who follow those general principles, their risk of cardiovascular disease, cancer, stroke, you know, they all go way down. They tend to live longer. They have lower blood pressure and their body weight is usually in a healthier range. So it's actually simpler than a lot of people think.
Healthy diets are important, but as Dr. Bergstein will tell you, so are healthy expectations, especially if you're eating healthy to lose weight.
Another thing that's really important is setting healthy expectations. So most of the benefits we see from this don't happen overnight. These really are long-term benefits. One of the things when people talk about weight loss in particular, they don't realize, but when you look at studies for people who lose weight through diet and exercise alone, success is 5% of your body weight. If you can lose 5% of your body weight through diet and exercise, that is highly successful. We've been tricked, you know, shows like The Biggest Loser, All these transformations that you see of people online, those are not the normal outcomes that we see with most people. If you can shoot for a 5% weight loss and you can do that through diet and exercise, you're doing actually very, very well.
Checkup item number 3, healthy diets and healthy expectations. Ramp up the plants and cut back the processed food and rethink what dieting success looks like. Nothing too shocking there. However, Dr. Bergstein's fourth checkup item threw me for a loop. And no, he didn't say to stop drinking crisp diet beverages. The interview would have been over at that point if he had. By the way, he did say that I could still have those in moderation, and that's why Dr. Bergstein is now my new best friend. But here is what Dr. Bergstein said that made me do a double take.
The truth is, most supplements probably are not needed if you are getting a healthy diet and if you don't have some type of deficiency or underlying medical condition. Now, how dangerous are these supplements? It really just depends. Some of the most recent studies show that up to 20%, and I want people to hear this, 20% of liver failure cases in the United States were linked to supplements. So we are living in a world where
people
are
really,
yes,
they're
really overdoing it. I feel
like we need
to pause.
20% of liver failure due to supplements. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, one of the things people are surprised about is when I tell them they don't need the supplements. I think you were a little surprised about that too.
I was only because I got an autoimmune disease. I got Hashimoto's and One of my doctors was like, you might want to try some of these supplements. I did. And it did help me feel better. And so, you know.
You should keep taking them because again, you're treating an underlying condition, right?
Yes. Okay. See, I like where you're going with that.
So let me just stop for a second and point to some important things. First, 20% of liver failure cases are due to supplements, and we may not even need them in the first place if we're eating well. So we should just stop taking them, right? Not necessarily. And Dr. Bergstein was quick to qualify this. if we have an underlying condition or a documented deficiency in something like iron or vitamin D, of course we should take the supplements. But if not, we need to be super careful with the impact they could have on our livers. Now, being an English major and not a biology major, I have no idea why supplements can affect the liver. So I asked Dr. Bergsten to explain.
So supplements and pretty much any medication that you take, oversimplifying it basically, you have to process these chemical structures and then get rid of them out of your body, right? So if you took your medication every day and it never got out of your body, it would build up to toxic levels and kill you. So two common ways that we break down chemicals from medications or supplements is through your liver or through your kidneys. And if you overdo it or if you create things that are hard for your body to break down, it starts to damage your kidneys or damage your liver. And so when you take a supplement, a lot of times, if you are not getting the exact amount that they're telling you, or if you are getting really, really high levels of it, or if the purity of the supplement isn't good, it could be damaging your liver because your body's not able to process those toxins and get rid of them out of your body.
So in order to preserve our livers and our kidneys and our long-term health, Dr. Bergsten says to keep these things in mind regarding supplements.
So it's not that they're bad, it's just that people forget a couple of things. These are actually medicines in a lot of cases. Yeah. They have side effects, they have toxicity, they have potential interactions with the medications you're already taking, and they can be dangerous. The other thing, it's really natural for us to think, oh, they're just a supplement, it's natural, I can't overdo it. So people take more and more and more. Mm. And then the last thing is not all supplements are, well, they're not regulated, right? So you could be getting something or putting something in your body that is different than what you think. It's not that you shouldn't do it, but it's the idea that these could be bad for you. Mm. Take garlic, for example. People take garlic all the time. Very low toxicity, very low risk. You may have a lot of flatulence, but it's probably not going to do much more than that as far as negative side effect. But take something like kava kava, which is a common supplement people take for anxiety. If they don't process it correctly and if they get stems of the kava kava plant in the supplement, it will throw you into liver toxicity potentially.
Okay.
That's where it becomes really complex with the supplement. They are still like a medication. You should discuss them with your doctor before you take them. The other thing you can do that's actually really helpful, if you go to the National Library of Medicine, it's medlineplus.gov. They actually have a section under drug info and herbal supplements where they will tell you the actual scientific data to support whether that supplement might help you. And they will talk about potential toxicities. And if you're worried about it damaging your liver, you can even go to livertox.nih.gov. And the same thing, you can type in the supplement you're taking, and then it will actually tell you if there's toxicity that could be linked to it. But that's one of the things that you can do, but just do it with caution. But, you know, if it came down to a supplement or choosing a healthy lifestyle of diet and exercise, you're going to get 100 times more bang for your buck with diet and exercise than you are with that supplement most of the time.
Checkup item number 4, be cautious with your supplements. You may not even need them, but if you do decide to take them, be sure to run them all through the Medline and LiverTox government websites for your own safety. Once again, if you didn't have the chance to write down those URLs, don't worry, we got you. Those will also be in the show notes. Speaking of pills and capsules, checkup item number 5 is all about prescribed medications and how to avoid having to take them.
Probably a third of my patients that I see on a daily basis have diabetes. So if you introduce a medication for diabetes, we often look at a score called the A1C. I'm just talking about type 2 diabetes, but if you add a medication in to treat diabetes, on average, it will decrease their A1C by 1 point. Okay. Sometimes it's 1.5. If you introduce diet and exercise, regardless of how much weight they lose, regardless of anything else, if they can stick with that regimen, they will see up to a 3 to 4 point reduction in their A1C.
Wow.
So the equivalent of 3 medications. So I always remind people that if you get a diabetes diagnosis or if that's something you're working with right now, adopting a healthy diet and exercise regimen is the equivalent of about 3 medications for most people. And exercise does not have to be complicated. So the first thing I would say is just find something passionate or something that you enjoy doing that involves moving. It doesn't have to be a specific type of movement. I love to run marathons. I have patients all the time that are like, Dr. Bergsten, I don't think I can run a marathon. And I'm like, you don't have to run a marathon because that's what I enjoy doing. What do you like doing? So moving 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week is really, really important for us. And that exercise should be high enough that you couldn't sing a song while you were doing it, but you could probably hold a conversation where you got 2 to 3 words in before you had to take a breath. That's kind of how I gauge whether you're getting a high enough level of exercise. Resistance training 3 days a week as part of your exercise is super important for maintaining your function and your strength as you go later into your life. So that doesn't have to be anything crazy. It can be push-ups, it can be pull-ups, it can be doing resistance bands, it can be working on machines at the gym if you like doing that. It could be taking an exercise class. Any type of resistance training is really key in part of your exercise. So when we talk about that long-term resilience, do you want to be able to walk upstairs when you are 75 years old? Do you want to be able to not slip in the shower and have the balance that you need so that you don't hit your head and knock yourself out? Do you want to be able to go on that dream vacation to Europe when you're 55 without having to stop and break all the time? When we exercise, we know that it improves our bone health. It improves our mental health. It decreases our risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's, and stroke. It lowers our blood pressure, and it doesn't have to be complicated.
Checkup item number 5, move. I love this idea of thinking of diet and exercise as the equivalent of 3 medications. So find something that you enjoy doing and do it for the equivalent of 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Now, you'll never find me taking a swim class at the gym. Let's just say I don't like things that involve a lot of equipment, you know, like a swim cap and goggles. It's too many steps. But I like Zumba and I also like hiking, so that's what I'm going to embrace. Again, it's not about the type of exercise. It's just about moving so we can bless our bodies with longevity, strength, and energy. And we can bless our pocketbooks with having to pay for fewer prescriptions. Dr. Bergston's 6th checkup item is about charging, but it has nothing to do with cords. In fact, quite the opposite.
What are you doing to recharge? Do you fill your life with things that recharge you, that give you meaning, that give you happiness, so that we have that battery reserve to kind of handle the other stressors in our lives? And we're getting less and less than that these days. When people come in and tell me they're tired, it's the same story that all of us go through. They're getting up earlier, they're going to bed later, they're trying to juggle this two-family situation, or a family where you have two parents working. They're trying their very best to make ends meet financially, but also provide a great life for their children. And throughout all of this, they forget we have to stop and recharge. We have to connect with the things in life that make us happy. The part of it that's interesting to me, though, is that the ways that people are connecting now are not giving back to them in meaningful ways. And that's where the mental health comes in, right? So we think we're connecting through online platforms or through social media. We think we're connecting when we're reading the news and we're making ourselves smarter about what's going on in the world. We think we're connecting through all these different ways. But throughout human history, the way we connected actually was very different. It's actually what's allowed us to be so successful as humans is we have communities around us. We have people that lift us when we need their help. We lift others when they need our help. We serve people. We love people. We are kind to people. We create relationships that make us feel good inside. When we're in the same room with someone and we're sharing that intimate moment of whatever it is, whether it's talking, physical contact, it doesn't matter. Those are things that give back to us in these beautiful and healing ways. And we've slowly peeled away all of this. So you text message somebody and we think we're connected. That's not really actually the connection that is going to make your brain feel better or that's going to make you feel happy or healthy. We need real connections with people. We need to still see people face to face. We need to, you know, smell the perfume that they're wearing and say, that smells good in your brain. And that makes you excited. When you're a kid and you're getting butterflies when you're around the person that you like, and then you stumble over your words and you have that awkward moment, but they still end up liking you anyway. These are really important things that we have to experience in life. And sometimes we're not experiencing them anymore.
Recharging our battery may look like hobbies and vacations and spa days, but it's also about people. We can't recharge anything, literally or figuratively, if we don't connect. And as Dr. Bergston told us in the first checkup item, health and longevity is all about the people and community we bring into our lives and realizing that we aren't just here to coexist on this planet. We're meant to thrive together. I love that this brings this little checkup of ours full circle. Yes, good health is about balanced diets and regular exercise and frequent blood pressure checks and careful supplement use. But health and longevity is just as much about recharging and reconnecting. But what if you've tried to do all these things and failed? Or what if you do all these things and you are still suffering from poor health? Both of these scenarios are very real and poignant ones for me. So I appreciate what Dr. Bergsten said to this point.
The other thing I think it's really important for people to understand is this idea of being kind to yourself. It's not actually all about what you do either. So when you look at a lot of the literature on how long we live and how well we live, they do twin studies where they look at twins who are identical twins. They have the same genetic makeup and they look at how they do over the duration of their life.
I find this so fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. So one interesting thing is 25% of your longevity and health is genetic. And I mean, that's a rough estimate, but if you kind of look at it that way, it's like,
that's a large percentage.
It is a very large percentage. And the older you get, the more your genetics play a role. The other thing is environmental plays up to 50% of how we do in our long-term health.
Up to 50%?
Yes, up to 50%. So if you grew up next to a coal plant and you were exposed to a bunch of toxins, I'm not telling you that you're not going to live as long, but you have to understand that there's things that have happened in the past in our lives that we have no control over.
Right.
And that's where we have to be kind to ourselves. There is this possibility that you could do everything right and you could still have a really bad outcome. One of my really, really close friends, he's a radiologist. We've been friends since we were in our 20s. I run marathons. He likes to run marathons. A couple of years ago, he finished a marathon. And 3 days after his marathon, he's like, man, I have had a headache now for like a month. I don't know what the heck is going on. So because he was a radiologist, he went, got his head imaged, and he had a brain tumor.
Oh, and my word.
Yeah, 8 months later, unfortunately, he passed away from glioblastoma.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's one of those things where like, as even as a doctor, and I know better, I'm like, well, what could we have done differently? What could have he done differently? What can any of us do differently?
You can drive yourself crazy doing that. I know. Because my husband passed away from ALS. And when he passed away at 47, I mean, before he was diagnosed 4.5 years prior, who's the epitome of health. No tobacco, no alcohol, exercised regularly. I mean, he, did everything right. So there is that element. And I don't want to bring this up or have this and have people think, well, then what's the point? Then nothing matters. But I like that you frame it as an opportunity to be kind to yourself as well. Okay, I know this got heavy quickly, and that is definitely not how I want to leave this episode, with this feeling of why even try if we're just playing genetic and environmental roulette. Luckily, Dr. Bergsten had a hopeful parting thought for our conversation.
One of the first things we have to acknowledge is that we do the absolute best we can, but when we have hiccups and bumps in our lives, or things don't turn out great, or we have a cardiovascular disease despite our best efforts to do the best we can, it's not that those things were not fruitful. Your actual resilience is higher when we do some of these basic things, right? So yeah, you may end up with some problems in the future, but if you're already healthy, you've already been exercising and having a healthy lifestyle and your mental health is in a good place and your relationships with other people are in a good place, you're going to weather that storm so much easier than if you don't have any of that resilience going into that episode.
Every effort to improve our health matters. It may not guarantee a specific outcome, but it will guarantee that we'll have more resources to combat whatever might come our way. I'm grateful to Dr. Bergsten for sharing his checkup list. I'll admit, I thought I'd heard it all, but I learned a lot from our conversation, especially the idea that rather than adding pills and potions and procedures to my health to-do list, I'm going to be focusing instead on filling my life with the essentials, and that includes genuine life-giving connection. I can't think of anything that makes the decades ahead sound more worthwhile.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio and is hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Becca Hurley-Lung, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Gracie Davis. A special thank you to our guest, Dr. Joseph Bergsten, a family medicine doctor in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Links to the government's websites for supplements and liver toxicity will be in the show notes, as will a link to the USPTF app. Don't miss out on two other great podcasts from the Lisa Show family, The Council of Moms and Proofread, a new book review podcast to help you read more of what you love. You can find The Council of Moms and Proofread on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for your messages. We read them all. And thanks for listening.
Tired of feeling overwhelmed by conflict in your life? Learn the skills to confidently handle any challenge on BYU Radio's new original podcast, Conflict Coach. Certified mediator Dr. Emily Taylor coaches real people through real conflicts, from family struggles to workplace disputes, neighborhood tensions to in-law disagreements. Each episode of Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor provides practical strategies to uncover the root of a conflict, identify solutions, and create positive change. As a married mom of five, Dr. Taylor's confidence in navigating conflict comes not only from her professional training, but also from real-life experience. She holds a PhD in psychology, is a certified mediator, and has authored two books on effective conflict resolution strategies. Conflicts are inevitable, but they don't have to ruin your life. Let Dr. Emily Taylor be your guide to building better relationships, strengthening your communication skills, and turning conflict into growth. Tune into Conflict Coach on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.